Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Check out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is a channel. Sports and Depth of the show. It is a Super Bowl, post-Super Bowl special. Quick half hour with some of the posse members as we talk about the big, big G-I-A-N-T-S, not J-E-T-S, big win yesterday. A fourth Super Bowl win and their second Super Bowl win in the last 4 years, second Super Bowl under Jerry Reese. But as we always open with a prayer, dear Lord, we thank you for another day. We ask you that you have your will and way. We thank you. Lord, thank you so much. We thank you for being our God. More importantly, thank you for blessings unseen, unheard, all in mercy. Forthcoming and have come. More importantly, that you have so much. We ask these blessings in the name of our beloved Savior Jesus Christ. And thank you for the victory for New York and, more importantly, for the lack of injuries. But more importantly, Lord, that your will be first and foremost in our lives. In the name of your darling Son Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the channel Sports and Different, the show. Just a quick half hour as the posse starts to come in, I think. There they come. And first one pulling in is Destino Baby Lois. We got Seawings going to call in, looking for the Hoops to join us, and Mel Cosell. A quick half hour as we salute. Everybody was in agreement, Dusty. It was a consensus. It was unanimous. Everybody saw the Giants winning this football game. The thing here is, with me and you, the glee that and we got two of our buddies that come into mind here that we're going to talk about is one thing, and the biggest thing I like is, you know, Jerry Reese has once again won a world championship. Now, you know, we've talked so much about that before, how there was all kinds of accusations and where did this guy come from? Did he really qualify? You know, is he really the guy for the job? Is this nepotism to a certain degree? And, hey, he's done it again, another Super Bowl championship. And
in 4 years.
Article, a really good article by another one of our good friends and a guy who we respect and love so much, and one of only two African-American columnists in the business today out of a total of 11 that used to be a decade ago. Reese assembles pieces for yet another championship. George Willis.
Reese's
the
pieces.
Next time Giants general manager Jerry Reese says he thinks his football team can win a championship, maybe he'll be taken a little more seriously. Remember all those many months ago when Reese said the team was capable of winning the Super Bowl and everyone thought he was delusional? Well, Reese got the last laugh last night watching his Giants beat the Patriots 21-17 to win their second Super Bowl in his 5 years as GM. And some of the quotes. All I can say about Tom Cobb is he put his record up against anybody, and it will speak for itself. The guys just kept focused through the peaks and valleys of the season. He kept our players focused, and he's a testimony to the quarterback. The thing, too, that in the aftermath of victory, Reese credited just about everybody but himself. And this is what we're talking about here real quick, Super Bowl. Jesse just touched on it. You know, Jerry was the guy. There was questions. There were accusations. There was
absolutely.
This guy qualified? And once again, when the smoke clears for the second time in 4 years, he's a general manager for the World Championship Football Team, doesn't he?
How can they question a man who was the underling, you know, the underling to the general manager? I mean, if 15 years in the system, you don't learn anything, well, then you don't belong there 15 years. And that's basically what it is. The man, all he had to do was, when the man retired, was go into the position and just, the word is, look it up in the dictionary, acclimate himself to the fact that now he's the boss. All decisions went through him. He didn't have to consult with anybody. And all of a sudden, these naysayers, these attackers, the peanut brains were coming out of nowhere. Who is he? Didn't they ever go into the department and see that he was partners with the general manager, and those bodies that came in prior to him taking over were a partnership consensus that he also approved and co-approved these guys coming in? And then all of a sudden now he's the boss. He cleans house of the naysayers and the tiki barbers and all them sharkies and all them non-performers, filled in the slots with perhaps unknowns and draft or low draft and all that, and built up the team.
Cruz is a perfect example of a guy that he took. Quickly here, let's look at some of the Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Reader Network, Rainbow Soda Chill, Sports Network of the show, Giants 21-17. And Dusty, I just wanted Dusty to kick it off because Dusty was with me when we were back at SJR Radio, and Jerry was the guy that came on and predicted,
blessed
and we,
man.
We had him. He was just on it. Sea Wings, you're here. I've got the Melco.
Sea Wings.
Is Hoopster here?
Yeah. Good evening, panel.
Hoopster.
And I've got another
name for everybody.
Okay. Hoopster here. Hoopster say yeah. Dusty said yeah. Sea Wings said yeah. Melco Sell. Got one more caller here. Who's the extra call?
Hey, Doc, can I say something?
Who's this?
Doc, hello? I think that's a guest I had call in, but they're just listening.
Okay, well, what's the guest
name?
Oh,
okay.
The
name
is Jason
Pierre Paul.
Rex Ryan? Rex Ryan?
Hold on.
The name is Christina.
Is that Rex Ryan on the phone there, C-Wing?
Doc, she just answered.
Huh?
She just answered.
Okay, can we have the name again, please?
Fatima.
Okay, Fatima. Okay, and remember, after
welcome
the show, send in 1995
to
Doc Stanley, Post Office Box 272.
Oh, boy.
We're going to go to you real quick. Your call was just about perfect, and, ma'am, we are so delighted to have you, and thanks so much for being with us here on the Sports and Deaf Nation. T-Wings, you called the score just about the way it came out. You had the Giants with eight more points, but you did have the Patriots dead right with the 17 points. I looked at that yesterday. Me and Dusty argued a little bit earlier, and I can see we're going to go extra time. I said, it showed to me yesterday, C-Wings, it showed to me yesterday that how much New England missed Randy Moss. Yeah, I mean, there was times that Brady had all the time in the world, but he didn't have the areas which Moss vacates, allows to be vacated because you're double teaming, or he couldn't throw to Randy. You know, if he's there, he killed us yesterday. I mean, that drive, that 96-yard drive, and then the other touchdown drive, you know, he just looked unbeatable. I'm saying, C-Wing, they still miss Randy.
Yeah, this is what you were saying all along after they got rid of Randy Marsh. They do not have that vertical threat anymore.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can use the tight ends for so much, but when you have the Giants,
could that be why that other tight end got hurt? He was just used too much this year?
They went to Gronkowski. I mean, he was the he was supposed to be Randy Moss's replacement. Not totally. But that was supposed to be the answer for the void left by Randy Moss. Uh-huh. Don't get me wrong. He did very well to help them get along through the season. But you also have to look at the teams that the New England Patriots played. They didn't play big threat teams throughout the season. Not like
absolutely
the Giants. The Giants had the toughest schedule
I've seen.
Like I said earlier in the season. They had the toughest schedule that I've seen in 20 years.
Steven, two things here. It's all right if I agree with Dusty. Don't you start agreeing with Dusty, okay?
No, but it's true. C-Wing and I have been in sync from the
That's
very
the point I'm making,
beginning.
Dusty. That's just the point I'm making. Back off. C-Wing, get back. You said, and you said that, Dusty, as did Malco Cell and, you know, push his man, Mr. Pierre. Did you know that
Jason Pierre-Paul,
did you know that, first of all, they say he should be defensive player of the year. See, we can get back to you in a minute.
Sure should.
And do you know his father's blind?
Yeah, I was sad. Did you see that on the sidelines?
Yeah, his dad is blind.
He came in from Haiti to see his son, and then who was the announcer?
Dusty, what a pun. He came into Haiti to see, what a, well, right,
no, no, really, no, 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 I'm not trying to be funny.
No, you're not.
What broke my heart was the fact that the announcer said, well, he cannot really see his son because he's totally blind. I said, oh, my God. But he's listening to his plays by radio. And then
the thing is, that great line by Roy Campanella, man, it's always good to be alive. And, wow, is New York City going to be alive tomorrow? Take ticker tape parade. C-Wings, back to you, dissecting the... Like I say, the missing of Randy Moss, the Patriots have, you know, they didn't play a whole lot of elite teams this year, and, you know, they are just not the same. Real quickly, before you go back, C-Wings, and I want to thank the lovely guests, here are some of the Super Bowl records that were tied yesterday. Oldest winning coach, Tom Coughlin, 65.
Yeah.
He's still 30 years younger than Dusty. Most consecutive completions, Tom Brady, 16. Most passing yards career-wise, Brady, 1,277. Most passes career, Brady, 197. That's my dad's friend, number 7. Most completions career, Brady, 127. Most punts inside the 10 game, S. Weatherford, 3. Most first downs passing in the game, 33. New York, 18. New England, 15. Records tied. Most games started, Brady, Matt Lye, 5. Longest TD drive, Patriots, 96. Wow. Fewest turnovers, game. Giants, none. That's the biggie there, C-Wins. Get that in a minute.
Yeah.
No turnovers. Most safeties in the game. First time ever. The Giants. Fewest punt returns in the game. Patriots, none. Eli Manning became the fifth player to win the MVP award twice. Joe Montana, 3, had won it 3 times. Bart Starr, Terry Bradshaw, and Tom Brady, who was looking to do 3 times, won it twice. Ahmad Rashad became fourth player to score the game-winning touchdown in the last minute of the Super Bowl. John Taylor was the first. Classico Burgers, remember that guy, and Santonio Holmes, two New York guys.
You know
that
is.
C-Wings, let's get back to it. Dissect it. Tell us what you want to talk about. They're still missing Morse. They're still not the powerhouse. Give us that. And have we seen the last of the Patriots?
The Patriots are going to be a rebuilding team in the next couple of years. I looked at the coach throughout the week, Super Bowl week. And, you know, we know that he has that stern look, but he had a stern but worried look. I watched him throughout the whole week from media day all the way up until the game. They were worried. They did not, like you said, they did not have Randy Moss. Gronkowski was hurt. I mean, he was limping all through the game. I've never seen anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was no threat at all. He made one or two catches,
but
not to compete with the defense of the New York Giants.
And you know,
I mean, these guys
are
very
helpful. I mean, Parcells, first time I seen Coach Belichick, you know, really embrace the other coach. At the end of the game, he went over and really embraced Coughlin. I mean, they were buddies on the team. As coaches under Parcells, but you did see that. They're still going to be a contending team, but there's a chance that they may be on the Patriots are sliding. That what we're saying, C-Wings?
The Patriots, they're a younger team. I mean, you look at the Giants; they had 16 of the original players from the 2007 Super Bowl, as opposed to New England; they only had 8. So you had a lot of young, inexperienced players out there who, for the first time, were going to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, you had a lot of these guys, Justin Tuck, you know, O.C., a lot of those guys from the 2007.
Yeah,
so they know what it was to play in the big game.
Eli Manning.
They know it, you know. I mean, but don't get me wrong. Tom Brady, he's still, you know, they really didn't get to him as much as they got to Eli Manning yesterday. But what I saw when he threw that ball, when he was under the pressure from Justin Tuck, and he threw it in the middle of the field and got that the safety, right then and there, the Giants were talking the whole week that if we can get at Brady, we win this game. We get him off his, you know, because he even said it himself. He's not a very mobile quarterback. He's
a pocket quarterback. He was moving around in that pocket yesterday, though, C-Wings. He was moving around
Well, they didn't hit him as much, though. Not as much as they did in
2007.
He avoided some sacks, though.
Mm-hmm. But listen, it was, I know if Moss is there, I think it's a different game. We're going to, now, our guests, you have any insight? Did you want to say something? Do you got any thoughts on the game as you join us here on Sports in Depth?
No, not really. Just enjoying you guys' take on it. That's all.
Okay, thank you.
Let me give you my take, if that's the case, if I may, then just quickly.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who told us all year long about his man, Jason Paul Pierre.
Told you last year
only.
He was a monster, Doc.
One
told you last year, JPP was a monster.
Mel Cosell, the floor is yours.
Thank you, the doctor, and the distinguished panel. I told the great doctor last year, look out for JPP, that he was a bona fide monster waiting to happen. That this guy
he's
was
only
going
a
to
kid,
do
23 years old, too. God.
And, Doc, he's still learning the game. He actually
is still in the process. That's frightening. He's learning the game that he's just starting to play. This is a guy who hasn't played. You know, Mark Breland's funny. Mark Breland's been the greatest amateur fighter of all time, became a great champion. And Mark Breland said all he wanted to do was be a quarterback, you know, at Brooklyn Tech. But this kid has been a couple of times he put some hurried moves on Brady. Brady kind of eluded him, but he's been an integral part of
absolutely.
Got tremendous points here. Giants had the toughest schedule. Okay, here's the first time. And this is what really kept the Giants in the football game. Zero turnovers. No turnovers, Hoopster. They didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah, they had a couple of fumbles, but they got the ball back. They've been lucky.
We're talking about turnovers because of Eli's accurate throws, my friend.
Control.
And this is what
Very
I keep telling
team.
You. He
Very
threw into
team.
Double defenders. He threw into triple. Look at that pass he hit Cruz with for the touchdown into two defenders, man. And the man was able
Dusty, Eli put the ball exactly
where he wanted
with,
to play.
On the money.
It was like a 21 gun salute. He fired that pellet right to the defender. I mean, to the defender.
Just
sure.
like his brother.
To the receiver. And sometimes it was short passages. I mean, short passes. Brady was very erratic. He didn't throw spiral. He threw wobbly balls, and that's why Hernandez dropped his. And Welker, man, when he threw that, I said, "Oh my God, he's by himself. Where are the defenders?" But Welker, he threw it over Welker's right shoulder, and Welker had him practically pirouette in the air to catch the ball.
Dusty,
he was already facing the
I'm agreeing with you again. Dusty, hang the phone up. I can't take it anymore. No, you're right. You know, because the amazing thing about it, you know, looking in the paper, Doc Stanley, Sports Enough on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Enough for the show. This would have been 30 minutes. You know it's not going to do 30 minutes because the way they're going. Dusty's going to take 10 minutes to close anyway. But, you know... because they act like, and you bring up a tremendous point, Dusty, because they act like it was Welker's fault, and it wasn't Welker's fault. Brady didn't get the ball there.
But did you see what I was telling you about that Booch and his wife were blaming Welker for that foul? He said he dropped the ball. It wasn't Trady's. It wasn't Brady's fault. It was that stupid receiver who dropped the ball.
She's not going to blame her husband. You know, she got to see with the guy. It wasn't you, baby. You know what I mean?
Let me say this. Let me make this point. I would be remiss if I wasn't able to make this point. Let me say this quickly, okay? And I mean this in all sincerity, okay? You can talk about Peyton Manning You can talk about Brady. You can talk about the guy from Green Bay, okay? For my money, the type of ball that he's playing at this time, okay, Eli Manning is the best money quarterback in this league.
Yeah,
well,
I know you
bring a point of that the fourth quarter stats show, and more importantly, what was still proven yesterday is that the best team in football on both sides of the football right now in football is the New York Giants. And a lot has to be I remember Tom Coughlin after winning. I meant to talk to him. We lost the Seattle game, maybe the Philadelphia game, and he said, you know what, you know, coaches, because they were talking, and he put the weight on him. Eli, when he's a rookie, he had threw a pass, and the guy, and Eli said, no, that was on me. That was my fault. And Coughlin said, coaches lose football games. Took all the weight, took the brunt of that whole thing, and you got to just take your hat off to him. They were 7-7, okay? Everybody, there was three dead men walking in the NFL, okay?
Yep.
It was Brady. It was our guy down Reed in Philadelphia, it was Coughlin, Andy Reed in Philadelphia, and Coughlin again. I mean, he was gone. I mean, as Marvin Gaye say, he wasn't doggone. He was long gone.
He
remained calm, and I see Jerry Reese now. Say, hey, Doc, how you doing? Taking him in the back. They're having the little meetings. Reese staying calm, staying cool. You know, Eli going with the flow. And people forget, this team was hurt. This team was hurt. Guys had to heal. Justin Tuck, take your hat off to him. The big five names in the thing, Eli Manning.
They got themselves together.
Justin Tuck, big defensive play there.
Yeah.
Manningham with that great, great catch. Jerry Reese, our guy, the MGM. Getting general manager of the year. But, you know, they stayed calm. I mean, people forget. Tuck forgot about the salary thing. Just played football. Brandon
Jacobs
played some more.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and they got together, and I said this. This was the whole key to me of why the Giants won, because after they beat the Falcons, the big game, I'm in Fortaleza, Brazil, and they come back and beat Dallas in Dallas. I said, there's no question in my mind they're going to beat Dallas. New York. They had three football games left, two at home, one against Dallas. They played the Jets, but it was a road game at home, and
yeah.
I think it was Washington. Okay, they blew the Washington game, won the game they had to win against the Jets, and I knew they were going to beat Dallas. But the key was getting that restful home game against the Falcons to start a playoff, but to play the rest of those games on the road. Then you focus. You say, you know what? I don't like Dusty, but I'm on the road. I'll go to dinner with him. But on the serious side, as a team, you focus. It's us against the world. Dusty has to worry about Adley calling for tickets. See what he ain't got to worry about. You know, that's Jesse Bob, you know, because we can stay focused. My brother's not calling me for tickets. You know, Damien's not telling your pop, can you get somebody's autograph? See what
exactly.
You know. It's just, and I knew, I felt, God only knows, that they were the team to beat. And as Mr. Cosell said, they started playing both sides of the football. Frisco, I mean, it's in Frisco. Here's an amazing stat that people forget about. No turnovers yesterday, and when they played San Francisco didn't make a third down. That had to be frightening for them going to San Francisco didn't make a third. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, and Blake with another Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network, the show. It's supposed to be a half hour, but it ain't going to be that. Just a little quick here, gang.
Let me
you got to do under the lights, Doc.
Yeah. Doc,
hold on, gang. Hold on.
Did you guys...
What?
Hold on, Dusty.
Yeah.
We're taking our break. It's coming right back.
Okay.
Actually, Dusty, we're going up there, so you can hang up. We'll be back in a minute. Doc,
one of these days, I am going to see me.
Rainbow Soul Show, Sports Network Show. It's our Super Bowl special. Give us a minute, and we'll be right back.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
The gang's all here. Everybody's in full. Sports in Depth, mic on. Lights on, but in a few minutes it'll be the mic on, lights off, as we just cannot stop right now. The panel's in. Everybody said they were tied, but now they're not tied. Giants win their fourth Super Bowl, second time in 4 years. And now, you know what? Just here's the thing about this, Mel Cosell. This is the thing about this. They were 3-0. I mean, they beat the Patriots twice this year, and since they lost to the Patriots, they're 3-0, Mel Cosell. They seem to have the Patriots' number.
Well, Dr. Frederick, you just say that because I was literally just thinking that, you know, in all sports, Doc, basketball, football, baseball, there's always one team, no matter what the deal is, that gives other teams trouble. I mean, if you go back 4 or 5 years, but there's always one team, sort of like the Jets and the Dolphins. You know, if one is great thing, having a great year, and the other's having a lousy year, it doesn't matter, because when those two teams get together, you know it's going to be Titanic, one way or another, Titanic struggle. And in this particular case, as you said, the Giants just seem to be able to, well, put it this way. They were very, very, very surprised, the New England team, that they lose to the Giants again. As you said, three times in one season beating the New England Patriots, very, very tough to do. But the Giants seem to be able to do that. And the big reason is that the Giants seem to feel, and I think by now New England is feeling it too, that if that game is within a touchdown and the Giants have the ball in the last 2 minutes or so, that Eli can beat them. And he seems to have proven time and time again that if the game is indeed within seven and he has the football, that he can take them up the field and get it done. And he's pulling out of tape like that.
He's done it twice on the biggest stage in football. They beat him in the Super Bowl. They came back and beat him. If you remember, Brady made that big fourth down touchdown pass against them up there in Foxborough. Eli and the Giants come back and win that game. Brady does the same thing here with a big drive, and they come back and win again. They seem to have the number. Black History Month, gang, let's take a quick look at
would you know? Would you know the interesting thing, Doc? Let me
hold
interject.
On, hold on a second. A little Black History Month here real quick. As you know, this is the month of the birthday of Bill Russell. 11 times in 13 years, you won an NBA championship. It was a happy birthday to Russell on the 12th. Yesterday, happy birthday to Hank Aaron. Most home runs hit by a right-handed batter in history of baseball, 755, Hank hit. It was his birthday yesterday, along with that Roberto Alomar. Happy birthday to my brother James Samar. Eddie Murray on the 24th of this month has a birthday. Sonny Height, the great detective and head of security at Yankee Stadium. At Black History Month-wise, though, Bill Russell, the first African-American to coach a basketball team and to win a world championship, and he has won the most world championships of any history. Gang, we're going to do the mic on, lights off, in just about 45 seconds. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Depth for the show. This is supposed to be just 30 minutes, but we cannot do 30 minutes because it takes Dusty 30 minutes to get here. We'll be right back. Mic on, lights off, as we continue part two of the Super Bowl final. And we're from New York anyway, so we have to give credit to the New York Giants, who once again have brought the world championship back to New York, second time in 4 years, and a fifth Super Bowl champion in the city of New York City. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth, three thoughts. Live your life today, never stand before God. Life was a simple, most urgent question. What are you doing for the service of others? Do what you pay for your space on earth. I simply say, Larry Harsley, trust in God.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day. Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, mic on, lights off. All praise the Father God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, the Lord. Your will, your way. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Okay, we're going to do another good 50 minutes or so. Giants yesterday,
yeah.
Big winners. This is the third time they've been the underdog. In fact, it's the fourth time they've been the underdog against the...
Well, let me tell you something. This is what I'm trying to tell you.
And they've won.
They are underdogs again for next season. This is the statistics that they came out. The Patriots are 15-1. You talk about the Patriots are in disarray. They're not. The Patriots are 15-1 to go back to the Super Bowl next year.
Wow.
The Giants are 6-1. I mean, so they have not lost faith for the Patriots. The Patriots, look, let me tell you something. In five Super Bowls, they've won three. Two of them back-to-back. Brady, back-to-back MVP. I mean, you don't rule out a team the embarrassment to them is the fact that this was a rematch of a wild, 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 wild team who had the audacity to make it to the playoffs and then beat the 18-0 record, spoiling the 19-0 that would have buried the Miami Dolphins with the 17-0 in the Super win. And they come back here, and the guys do it again. And again, like I said, this is why I don't give out scores. It was a low score, but it was a hurting score. Even if it was 1 point, they still beat the same guys, the darlings of the Midway. They slapped them around. And Brady, the untouchable
my
Brady.
My thing is here, Dusty, see, Wings, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, but see, my thing here, Dusty, you know, they may be 15-1. The New England Patriots are not the super team they used to
be. Well, of course
they had a favorable schedule, and I question some of the calls that the officials gave them. Okay, they lost to the. I mean, the New England Patriots did not win convincingly against any good team. They lost against the good teams, and they just. I mean, you know what? Psychologically, you know, the Jets gave the Patriots the push that they needed when they came in here. The Jets against New England. The Giants had just beat New England. They were ready to be buried. But what happened?
Yeah.
The Jets let them get away. The New England Patriots are not the same football team. That team that came in that was 18-0, that was a great, great team. And had that team won the Super Bowl, you could have may have said they were the greatest football team of all time.
I wasn't saying that. I was saying that they had gone through the season, and the lowly little backdoor
just said, I love this because we're on the phone. You just said they're 15-1. Don't count them. The Patriots are no longer a super. They're a very good football team, but they are no longer a superpower. They've lost the Super Bowl the last two times they've been in it. 2 years ago, they didn't even make the playoffs.
Of course, they didn't even make the playoffs.
But, Doc, they also have lost
the record
four.
The geniuses who are commentators have also lost a record four
Super Bowls, too. I mean, they've won, but they've also lost four Super Bowls. I mean, they could be 15-1 odds to go next year, but we also have to look in the early 90s, the Buffalo Bills went four Super Bowls in a row. They 0-4. So
and they lost,
The New England Patriots are a transitioning team. They're not the worst team, but you also have to look at the AFC. What's the biggest threat in the AFC? Probably the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? And maybe the Baltimore Ravens.
Another team in decline. Another team in decline.
Yeah,
right.
They're an older
team.
So all I'm saying is that the geniuses who sit here and pontificate and put the X's and O's together, they came up with a list where I said, are you guys for real? The Patriots, 15-1 to repeat and go back to the Super Bowl. They didn't say win, but go back. The Giants were only 6-1. I said, are you for real? But I remember that the Patriots were a losing team when they were, was it Boston Patriots, was it? Before they went to New England? Was it Boston Patriots?
Yeah, the Boston Patriots.
And the Chicago Bears ate them alive for lunch. You know, with the refrigerator
And let me say this to our fans worldwide, if I may, okay?
Mm.
For all the fans of this incredible program that we're now on, and for all of those fans who are also Giants fans, I suggest that you revel in the victory right now and take it all in, because there will be personnel changes that will indeed affect the Giants team. Number one, Mario Manningham, who made that incredible circus catch.
That's the guy I thought should have been MVP. That's the guy I thought was the MVP.
Let me make this point, which I thought was the player of the game last night, as well as Brandon Jacobs. Both of their contracts are up and most likely will not be re-signed. So those are two pieces that will have to be replaced.
Well, this is exactly what I was saying, that all the scribes are now talking about how management, realizing the tight group that they have, don't want to lose them. Manningham, Hicks, Brandon Jacobs, all those guys, they want to tie them up. What they should do, and this is where I take exception to, is here, Victor Cruz is only paid $425 this year, and he's going to get a big raise next year at $525. Man, they better sign this dude up for a long period of time.
He's been the same about Jason Pierre-Paul.
Yeah.
He's going to the Pro Bowl, and it's better. They're trying to tie this guy up for about five years or so.
Yeah. And management is dragging their heels, and they'll lose these guys. They'll lose the Jacobs and all them suckers, man. But these are the guys.
I think Brandon may stay. Brandon, he's the all-time, his most rushing touchdown in the history of the New York Giants. I think with the Super Bowl championship, I think Jerry Reese, also being African American, I think that can be a big influence. Those two factors, the Super Bowl championship, the camaraderie with the team. It's in New York, and the GM being African American, I think in call them and say, fellas, you know what? Okay, this is what we can do. And what I'll do, I'll allow you to take a look. If you can get a better deal, and if not, this is what we got. This is what we want. You know,
Brandon wants a lot of money, Doc.
Brandon wants a lot of money, Doc. What you want, what you ask for, what you get, is two different things. I mean, Brandon, you know, the guy. That's got to get a lot of money. It's Bradshaw. I mean, people forget. And it was Larry Hardy who said on this show, on Sports in Depth, that first of all, the Giants running game had suffered when he was down. And Larry said, I'd love to be his agent. He's got to get paid. They didn't start getting back on this. And this is the thing that's amazing, and it's not. It's that same old thing with the media. Nobody's talking about the job that Jerry Reese has done. Nobody's talking about how much they missed Brad. Nobody's talking about the great catch that Manningham made last night. And, you know, is it a coincidence that all these guys are black? It's just simply amazing. You know, they're talking more about Welker missing the ball than they talk about Manningham catching the ball.
If you listen to ESPN, Mike and Mike, Francesa, all them guys talk of Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Smith, and Mangini, and all them suckers. 3, 4, 5 hours of discussing his catch and how he maneuvered and stayed him. I mean, you gotta listen to every cable.
I'm talking about what's written. I'm not talking about what's been said. I'm talking about what's written. And in our society, the written word, it goes a lot further than radio. I'm just saying
I don't think so. It's not about thinking.
It's about what is. You know, editorially, there's more clout with the writers than it is with the radio people. And if you ever put in for a credential, if you're a writer, you get the nod over radio. And what I'm saying, I haven't read about what a great catch this guy made.
I have read Stephen A. Smith and those guys. I buy 4 newspapers a day, my friend, and I have read how this catch saved the game.
Well,
okay.
You can't read anyway, so you just
yeah,
pay.
Sure, I can't read anyway.
But you're talking about the play of the game, the play of the Super Bowl,
and for the Giants, for all intents and purposes, the play of the season,
Well, that's the same way when Dave, whatever his name is, Tyree caught the ball, the play of the season.
Yeah,
that's it. But what I'm trying to tell you is that you talk about contracts, What I took exception to was the fact that Eli Manning, right after that stupid Super Bowl, was given a $130 million contract, and nobody else got a dime.
Well, but you know, Dusty, you bring up a good point, especially here in Black History Month, as we will salute those who've come before us, those who are doing it now, and by the grace of God, those who will do it in the future. And, you know, this is the trend in our society. Emmitt Smith had to sit out, and you're talking about a point, Dusty, because they gave Troy Aikman an extension, what I was even asked. They did the same thing with the Randy Moss, Tom Brady. They gave Brady all the money in the world and then told Randy Moss, well, you know, hey, this is not the Patriot way. We'll get to you. Tom Brady ain't a Patriot? I mean, you look at the history of sports. Okay, this is what they do. They hate to pay, and the Los Angeles Lakers refuse to sign the greatest center, the greatest offensive machine, the greatest rebounder in history of professional basketball. They didn't want to pay Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, the stories are endless. The stories are endless,
but this is what I'm saying, that if the Mavericks...
I'm validating, we're going to move for this. Listen, I cured you, but you're saying it bothers you. But this is how it always... And this is why you talk about black ownership, ownerships in teams, where you can have a say so you can make your decision. I mean, but this thing with him, it's always happening. I mean, hey, they gave Brady a big contract. They gave... Eli a big contract. They gave Troy Aikman a big contract,
yes.
but Emmitt Smith had to sit out. Randy Moss got traded. Okay, now what's going to happen with Brandon Jacobs and Bradshaw?
Well, Bradshaw's got a contract. He's got to get paid. Do you think, based on what they did this season, they're gonna chump change these dudes and let them go somewhere else where they will destroy the Giants and play against the Giants? No, I don't think so. I think maybe I'm being naive, but I'm thinking that in their right mind they said we better open up that purse string and keep these guys. These are the guys that
you know, with Mr. Myra gone, it may have been a whole different story with Mr. Myra, and that's one of the problems too that Jerry Reese has. And the jealousy, because he's part of that Myra family. C-Wings, I mean, what Dusty's saying, do you think they will pay these guys or they're going to have a problem? Have we seen the last of Jacobs and Manningham and these guys, C-Wings?
I think it's going to be like the Jets. You remember the press conference, the AFC championship game that we covered last year?
Mm-hmm.
And Jason Taylor said that this team will never be the same again.
Right.
I think there's going to be a lot of changes on the Giants in the offseason.
I think they're cutting their nose to spite their face, because this is the team that gave them two Super Bowls, beating the same awesome team, and they're going to turn around and chump change them. You know, they're doing the same. If they did that, well, I hope they're in the bottom of the pile, because that's what they did to some of the players. Look at Jose Reyes. He had to go to the Marlins to get decent money. I don't like the $106 million. He should have gotten $130, $140. But he's satisfied with that. But still in
all... Well, he's satisfied, too, Dusty. And the thing was...
I'm not satisfied.
Black Sports and Death, when the Blake and the Rainbow Soul, Sam Sports and Death show, it's Super Bowl we're talking about, and Black History Month, part 3. And as we remember... The first ever heavyweight champion of the world, Jack Johnson, December 26, 1908, became the first ever heavyweight champion of the world, the first African-American to win the Most Valuable Player Award and the batting championship, none other than Jackie Roosevelt Robinson. Chuck Cooper, one of the first guys, first gentleman to enter the NBA. Bill Russell, whose birthday is this month. First African-American head coach in the NBA and the first African-American to win a world championship. And just some of the names, as you know, this month, Hank Aaron's birthday, the 5th, as you know, all-time home run leader by a right-handed batter and was once the all-time home run king, 755 home runs, won the MVP in 1957, and went into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot player. And Jim Brown, when you talk football, you cannot talk football without talking about the greatest running back of all times, Jim Brown, right from Long Island, where Julius Erving came from, Dr. J, who won three ABA championships, two ABA championships, three ABA MVPs. Some things, some notes on Black History Month, And can we ever? Arthur Ashe was the first African American to win a Grand Slam, but Althea Gibson was the first African American, period. As Arthur was the first male, she was the first ever to win a Grand Slam event. She's also from Harlem. Just some inside facts as we are moving toward the closing minutes here. C-Wings, we were with you. But no, Mel Cassell, your thoughts. Okay, you preached the gospel of your boy Jason Pierre. Okay, your thoughts now. Okay, now do you, I mean, he's got to get paid. Do you see Dusty?
They got a lot of guys, Doc, pardon me, but like I said, the contracts are up. There are some free agents on that team. As I said, most notably Jacobs and the man who made the miracle, and I think most of the important catch, Manningham.
Also, Tuck was had a big – he wanted an increase, too. Tuck, you know, he set out early in the year, and he came on the camp. He's another guy that wants to get paid. Big sack there in the closing minutes of the football game yesterday, so he's got to add him to the list of guys that wants to get paid and has to get paid. Am I correct?
And the fact is going to be, who is it that they are going to think who is it that they actually are going to pay, who they think that it's going to be a priority to keep, and who are those who they're going to say, in effect, well, look, we hate to lose them, but we can only sign so many guys, and, you know, push comes to shove, you know, we can't give the guy the money he wants. He may have to go. Now, I don't know about the rest of the panel. I've heard you all. I don't think they're going to sign Jacobs myself. I think
I think they're cutting him over spite the gonna, face.
I mean, well,
I say bring him to the Jets. I tell you what,
that's a good point. You know, he lives in Jersey. He likes New York.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what I mean? Is that Leonard Marshall did it? Parcells left. Was a Giant coach, became a Jet. You know, that's a tremendous possibility. That is tremendous.
Yeah, Doc, but he's a power guy, and I think they want a breakaway back.
Well,
more of a power guy. I think the Jets are looking for more of a breakaway back, Doc.
But at the same time, the Jets are competing with the Giants. You bring a guy in that's a former Giant. You bring a guy in has experience. You bring a guy in that's a champion. And you know what? All you need is 3 or 4 yards. If you can get a guy like that who can establish his presence, then you allow Sanchez more time to throw the football because now you're not going to blitz so much because, you know, I got to watch Jacobs. And one thing about Jacobs, he's a power back, but he has
a runaway freight train.
That's right. He can run over you, he can run through you, and he can run. So it'd be a great addition. All the way around, a guy that can play, a guy that can put people in the seats, and a guy who will always be playing C-Wings for something to prove.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we looked at Sean Green. I mean, he did pretty well. He finished
very
over
well.
1,000 yards,
mm-hmm.
Which it was looking at one point that he was going to finish under 1,000. But, you know, he's highly used. He was playing hurt in a couple of the games after Denver game where he got hurt. But they need another strong running back. They need that person to rebuild this team and put it back in a contention.
Not to mention somebody back to C-Wings that can block. I mean, those fast backs have a tendency to get out. A guy like Jacobs can stay back and be that extra block that allows the quarterback to make that pass that he has to get downfield. Mm-hmm. He's so advantageous. You know.
Yeah. But don't you think that there's a danger of what did the Jets do with Plexico? They just signed him up. He was window dressing. He was hardly used. And are they really going to take Jacobs if this happens? And use him the way he should be used, the way he's used by the Giants.
The Plaxico move, I thought it was asinine when you had a chance, from what I heard, between Randy Moss and Plaxico.
Yeah,
how
right.
How you
of
take
course.
Plaxico over Randy Moss? I don't understand that.
But you know something, Doc? The danger here that Randy Moss would have been in the same non used status, I feel, that Plaxico was.
One of the problems that they said that they supposedly that they didn't want Moss because Moss would come back to the young quarterback, and you know these reasons don't make sense, and say throw me the ball. So you know, Randy's going to say, you know what, fellas, throw me the football, or I'm out of here. I mean, you can't bring a Randy Moss. I mean, I don't care. You know, when you no matter how old they are, when you bring in a Mays, a Oscar Robertson, a Jerry West, a Jim Taylor, a Hank Aaron, you
Jerry
gotta
Rice.
But, Jerry, you got to you gotta play him.
But you have the same thing with. Did you have the same thing with Antonio Holmes, or was the guy, or was it Holmes or the other guy who was complaining? I didn't get the ball, so he sunk, he sulked, he sat on the bench, non-producer.
That was Holmes.
Holmes. But this is the same.
And that's another guy, Dusty, that they can't get rid of because he's making an awful lot of money.
Yeah, and he's making
buku
bucks, so they can't trade
him. Holmes is a hell of a football player. I mean, you know,
but you
know, you all that bullcrap about
the ball.
I want a guy come to me and say, Coach, I want to play. I got no problem with a guy said, Coach, I want to play. I got no problem with a guy said, Coach, bases loaded, I want to hit. Hey, Coach, let me shoot the ball. Santonio Holmes is a world champion. He's an all-pro.
He's a pain in the ass. That's what he is. Non-performing pain in the ass.
You know, that take all that pain in the ass nonsense and put, because you know what? Give me pain
don't
in the ass
give
and
me
I can play.
Crap, because it is. He is.
How do you know? What do you know?
How do you know about
all you know about
by his
non
performance? How do you know that he's not?
And what you hear?
How do you know that he's not?
You hear?
From everything he did? Come on.
Like what?
He sucked on the freaking bench?
He
didn't have the Jets?
You
want
to suck on the bench. You want to sit on the bench, Dusty? You want to sit on the bench?
He
want to
sit
on the bench.
For being a pain in the ass, that's right.
He was the guy that Mel Cosell told us that sparked the football. It's a funny thing. I
but
remember
when he didn't get the ball,
when,
he was talking.
Who's the guy who used to
like
play
a
for the
kid?
Giambi. I remember Giambi chastised a player in front of everybody. And what did they say?
Giambi.
Oh man, he's their leader. You know, he's just telling them how to play. You know, he's the one that leads this team. He was out of line. But all of a sudden,
totally
the white guy is the leader. Had he been a black player, this man,
oh,
how can
come
you
on.
You're going to
blow brush that again with the black guy, white
guy? Hey, Dusty,
on,
let me tell you something, Dusty.
Use your comments.
Let me tell you something, Dusty. It's always that way in America. And if you don't see it, there's something wrong. It's the reason why, like you said, that Tom Brady got his money and Randy Moss didn't. It's the reason why that when it came to Emmitt Smith, he had to sit out, but Troy Aikman got his money. I remember a guy told me a long time ago on the Knicks, amazing fact, that the highest paid guy in the Knicks, okay, it wasn't Reed, it wasn't the Busher, it was Bill Bradley. Don't ever lose sight, my brother, that in America, it's always about black and white, and you never see that in a more high-profile situation than you do in sports. Do you think if Don King was promoting Manny Pacquiao, and Pacquiao hadn't fought Mayweather by now, that he said, hey, man, what's going on? But Aram, everybody understands Aram. Dusty, hey, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way these guys write. You know, it's part of America.
Mayweather.
Let's look at the famous, the infamous incident where Billy Martin sat removed Reggie Jackson out of the game.
Exactly. Reggie Jackson ready to kick his ass.
You would never see them pull Luke Gehrig or
Mickey
Mantle,
Joe DiMaggio. Wouldn't do it. I mean, it's the way it is. Gang, real quickly, in the closing seconds, we'll let Dusty laugh because he always closes for us. Mel Cosell, if the Giants can come back with this team, if the guys can be happy, if they can stay healthy, can they win the Super Bowl again?
Oh, yeah, Doc, they most certainly can. Now, I'm not saying they will by any means, but they can certainly make the playoffs. And once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen, Doc. But like I said there, it is very hard to repeat in this league, especially lately with in our age of parity. Very hard to repeat any dynasties in football. But they most certainly will probably make the playoffs, and once you're there, anything can happen.
2 weeks. First of all, let me ask you, will the Jets make the playoffs next year?
We have to see. We draft, I believe, 16. So if we don't get Peyton Manning, it's going to be interesting in, as far as the quarterback situation. And giving him the tools and rebuilding that offensive line as well. So it's going to be very interesting in the next couple of months, and we'll see what happens in the draft, who we get, who we acquire from other teams, and I think you're going to see Rex Ryan take a more direct role in the offensive play calling as well. Real quick, Doc, just wanted to say we didn't get a chance to touch on it. I don't know if the panel knows that Roger Goodell was looking to possibly eliminate the Pro Bowl to the fans' reaction to this past Pro Bowl over in Hawaii.
Really?
The type of play and that they did in the past couple of years have the Pro Bowl outside of Hawaii. As we know, a lot of the players look forward to that. They fly their families out. I mean, it's a really big to-do. So he's looking to either revamp it or eliminate the Pro Bowl. So
I'll keep you updated in future shows. The Pro Bowl this year, it wasn't in Hawaii.
It was in Hawaii.
No, it wasn't in Hawaii, but it turned out to be a big picnic. The guys are going to hurt each other.
That the players have a gentleman's agreement among themselves. Doc, what is it? They have a gentleman's agreement among themselves. No hard hits, no brutal hits.
Exactly.
You know, nothing like that. We're going to play basically soft. Basically two-hand touch is what the gentleman's agreement says.
Yeah.
When the guy scored a touchdown, they shook hands. And it's also costly because the winner got $50,000 and the loser got $25,000.
Okay, but see, what's the problem here? I mean, hasn't this always been the case? I mean, what does the commissioner want?
I mean, I think, you know, looking at the previous Pro Bowls, this has probably been more of a hands-off this year. I mean, it's always been, you know, no one really goes out to hurt each other.
It's like an all-star game.
Yeah, but that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, you don't want – I mean, there are guys – the Giants and Jets, guys who made the Pro Bowl, they missed the Pro Bowl, but they'd rather be in Super Bowl. The fans want to see a high-scoring game. You don't want to play in an All-Star game and get your head tore off. I mean,
they're looking in terms of viewership and also fan attendance. I mean, appeared to be that fan attendance was kind of down this year. I mean, it looked pretty empty.
You had a lot of Patriots who made the Pro Bowl. You had a lot of Giants who made the Pro Bowl. So you had a high populace of the guys who were going to be there who weren't there. Maybe that's why they didn't come.
Can I explain something here? Full contact is football. That's why they wear the pads and the helmets and all that. You got the NBA All-Star. It's a cut-your-throat game because it's not this full contact and hitting each other. The same thing with baseball All-Star, the National League, American League, and the home run, whatever you call it, and the slam dunk contest.
Yeah, but the All-Star game, all the guys, they're good to be there, they're joking, they're having a good time. I mean, I'm just trying to get across to this. I mean, is it the lack of attendance, or he wants the guys to be more serious, C-Wings?
I think it was more or less the lack of attendance, and you know, you had a lot of fans out there booing too. I've never really heard that in the Pro Bowl game. It was kind of like a real soft game this year. When Peyton Manning, when he was playing the previous, I would say 5 years prior to this one, it was more of a semi-regular season game. I mean, you had sort of hitting, but this year was more apparent that it was just more like a Harlem Globetrotters on a football field type game.
On a Sunday in Central Park, they were playing touch football, and everybody brought out their little baskets and had some food, and they enjoyed themselves. It was not the competitive game that people wanted to see.
I don't have a problem with that. I mean,
I really don't have a problem with it. It's more of a dog and pony show, and they have an unspoken gentleman's agreement.
There you go.
You know, about
what are we killing ourselves for? You have a short lifespan in this game. Now we're going to kill ourselves in the Pro Bowl. We're all stars here. We're good to be here. Hey, man, I'm glad to see Dustin. He plays with San Francisco. There's C-Wing from the Jets. Oh, man, there's my man Rooney from Seattle. I went to college with C-Wing. Hey, I don't see how many, you know, what's the commissioner saying? They want, hey, go out there and kill yourself? You're killing yourself every week.
Well, you had two rookie quarterbacks, too. That was the first time that ever happened.
Yeah, I mean,
Cam Newton and Andy Dalton. 100%
Doc on this one. I agree with you 100%.
I just
and pony show, and I don't mind. I just said the guy's kind of laying off. I'm going to lose an all-star game.
Come on, I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, because, here's Dusty. He's an all-pro running back. I'm going to cut Dusty under your knees. I'm going to sit here and hurt C-Wing's arm. For what? It's a fun game. I got the family here. Hey, me and Dusty had dinner last night. We're going out with C-Wings tonight. What's the problem, Commissioner? How many downs of football has he ever played?
Because of the way football is. That's the way football is. You expect to see the same thing in the Pro Bowl that you see in the Super Bowl and you see in the playoffs and you see all season. And this is the turnoff. When I watched that game, I said, my God, this is a picnic where families out enjoying themselves in the luau. You're right.
The guy who got to do what's best for them because, you know, the knee
exactly
injury
what's best
that
for them.
You get, the Fairweather fans, half them probably drinking up there, probably drinking Hawaiian Punch mixed in with a whole bunch of spirits. So, you know, one guy said, I didn't know Peyton Manning was playing today.
Exactly. But you see the intensity of the baseball all-star game. You see the intensity of the NBA All-Star.
You can still have the intensity because there's no physical harm. You know what I mean?
Are you kidding me?
Football, you blitz a guy, you can hurt a guy. Baseball, okay, baseball players have the greatest life in sports. Every inning you come back and sit down. Every inning you go up, you got air-conditioned dugouts. In the wintertime, you got heated dugouts. Greatest life in sports. Basketball, the same thing. Hey, I can pull you out of a game.
Exactly.
And Doc Hoops will probably back me up on this one, Doc. They don't play any defense in the NBA All-Star game, man. It's a track meet. They don't play any great D in the NBA All-Star game.
So guys would be like, hey, Dave, baby, see the playoffs? Come on, now, ease up. That great line he used to tell El Manny, go, hey, go, don't dunk on me, man. I got my family here today. Go, please.
I think it's more of a treat for the fans just to see their favorite players
just to be able to say I saw them, maybe get an autograph, see them play. I think the commission's out of line here. I think it's way out of line. I mean, we don't know why the attendance is out. I think a big part of the attendance being down, first of all, you know, fans are a little more expensive, but the two of the best teams in football were in the Super Bowl. And so, I mean, Jason Paul Pierre wasn't there. Brady and Manning wasn't there. A lot of guys who could have been there were on the bigger stage. But I just don't see where the commissioner is upset that for the
I think a lot of players are threatening to boycott the game as well if it's moved out of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, this big name guy.
Where does he want to take the game, C-Wings?
Well, if you looked in the last couple of years, it was they did have it like the week before Super Bowl. Normally it's the week after. It was in Miami, I think it was, a couple of years ago.
So now, here's the thing. Maybe here's a thought. That's a good thought. You know, maybe his timing was bad. If you do the game after the Super Bowl, I get a chance to see Jason Paul. I get a chance to see Brady. I get a chance to see Manny, which could
You're
up the attendance.
Right.
And the thing, too, here, Dusty, is, you know, why should you, all-pro linebacker in C-Wings, all-pro running back, and Mel Cosell, top nine defensive, why should you be penalized for making the Super Bowl?
Doc, I have to say this before we go, otherwise I'd be very amiss. What would the outcry be if a Brady or somebody played this game or a Manning or something and lost the season to the injury on some vicious hit and broke a leg.
Dusty,
or
it'd be Dusty. It'd be Dusty. Dusty be cracking him on the line. It'd be Dusty. He just knocked him out of the game. It'd be Dusty. No, but you're right. And that's what I'm saying. I don't understand with the commissioner. I mean, I'm glad to have everybody come out that game healthy. The Giants lost a play for all of next season. I mean, and you're right. I mean, how irate were they? Man, it's a fun game.
Yeah, what was the outside me?
Huh?
What was the outcry, Doc? If some superstar broke a leg or an arm or had a neck injury like Manning did, then this all-star, basically meaningless all-star game.
We were having dinner last night, you know what I mean? Your wife is shopping with my wife, and all of a sudden I blitz you, and now they knock you out the game. I gave you a concussion for the commissioner. You're out of line on this one, Commissioner. Gang, we're going to about wrap this up in a minute. C-Wings,
you
want to finish up.
Another thing you got to understand,
hold on, Dusty,
too.
Dusty, you're the last one. Hold on. C-Wings, wrap it up. Because Jets can make the playoffs, you said. Can the Giants, if they bring the house back in order, if they sign their guys and the right guys,
I hope so.
Can they come back to the Super Bowl?
They could. It's not impossible, but I don't think you're going to see this whole complete team with the salary caps and the CB. Collective bargaining agreement.
Right.
I don't think you're going to see the same team you have this year. You may have some returning, but you're going to see a lot of changes, in my opinion.
Dusty, it's your turn. Can they come back? Will they come back?
I piggyback on Siwi with one exception that I hope they break open the purse strings like they did for Eli Manning and bring the dudes back that got them to the second suit that saved Coughlin's job and elevated Jerry Reese. Now, they're stupid, and that's the word, and they're stupid. They don't want to sign these guys up. They want to get rid of them. They're not going to see a Super Bowl in the next six millenniums, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
And because of the fact that they can, you see, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Now, that's
retain
it.
Wow.
It. That's
retain,
you know what?
You got the team that brought you to the show.
You said that. I agree with you. And I know it. I got to close the show because I've agreed with you about three times on this show. people are going to be sending hate mail to me. I can't take this. Hold on, gang. We're going to close in just a minute. Doc Stanley, Sports Never on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul to Tell, Sports Never for the show. It is a post Super Bowl special destino, baby. Lois, C-Wings, and Mel Cosell. Also, we had a special guest join us, and we had Hoopsa for a while. We're going to close real quick. Dusty will tell everybody good night. But the greatest African sportscaster in history of New York City Radio, ESPN New York Jets sideline reporter Larry Hardesty, will say good night. Doc Stanley, Sports Network, the Blake Network. Three thoughts. Live your life today as if you had to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is a mint you pay for your space on earth. Those two quotes, the first one, Dr. Martin Luther King, the second one, none other than Muhammad Ali, and here is a third one for you from Doc Stanley. Trust in God.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And Dusty, very good night, and we'll be back on Sunday. Good luck, Willie.
Thanks, Levy Head. We broke into your sleep. I know this is a busy week, and we're excited for the Giants, but God bless you all. We discuss things hot and heavy. We'll continue next Sunday. And take care of yourselves. God bless you. Y hasta la próxima, que el domingo que viene. Okay, good night.
Let's go. We're riding away, gang. Here we go.
Okay, right away. Take care. Thank you.